Please open your Bibles now to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, continuing our study through this epistle of the Apostle Paul. Last week we looked at the first half of chapter 9, as Paul spoke about foregoing his rights or his liberty, Christian liberty, for the sake of the gospel. And one of the rights that he had as an apostle and as a minister of the gospel was to receive remuneration, to receive payment for his living. And he described the biblical foundation for that and how he had given up that right, that he wouldn't be a hindrance to any, and particularly to the people that he was ministering to in the new works, the church planting works that he was engaged in. We're moving on, and he continues this theme, focusing on a couple of different aspects but related to his witness for the gospel. So let's give attention as I read 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 27. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. What keeps us from evangelizing? Now, you might say, that's a loaded question. You're suggesting that we're not evangelizing, or we're not evangelizing as well as we should be evangelizing. Well, I don't think anyone here this morning is ready to raise their hand and say that they have been 100% faithful as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And so it is a valid question for us to think about. What keeps us from consistent, faithful, gospel witness? Well, oftentimes, it's our own fear and timidity. Sometimes it's busyness or just plain neglect or maybe just selfishness. At times it may be because we have not prepared to share the gospel. We're not ready. Or at other times it may be because we're just not in contact with unbelievers. We're not placing ourselves in the paths of those who need the gospel. Well, we could think of many other reasons, but one thing that is clear from Scripture is that Jesus Christ has called us to be His witnesses. And the key to being His witness is first relying on the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is our helper and our comforter. And oftentimes we fail in evangelism because we try to do it in our own strength, in our own power, and we find that our own resources quickly run dry as we bear witness for Christ. Instead, we should be prayerfully trusting in the power of Christ and His Word to enable us and also to change lives. Well, the Apostle Paul had this Spirit-born passion for bearing witness to the gospel of Christ. He told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, that he was willing to endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory." That was his mission statement. He was willing to endure all things for the sake of those who were chosen, that they might share in eternal glory with him through Christ. Why was that such a passion for Paul? It's because Jesus Christ had first saved him. Remember how he described himself? He saw himself as the chief of sinners. And the mercy that he received, he said, is an example for those who would believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. In 1 Timothy chapter 1. Well, how can we be more effective as witnesses for Christ? Well, this is the point of the message. We must strive in the power of the Spirit of Jesus Christ to deny and control ourselves in order to be God's instruments of salvation for the lost. A long statement. But what we'll be focusing on is the middle portion. And that is the denial of ourselves and the controlling of ourselves for the sake of the gospel. From this passage, we see these two principles that govern Paul's life as an ambassador for Christ. And they should direct ours as well, as servants of Christ called to be his witnesses. And the first thing is this: effective gospel witness requires denying ourselves. Denying ourselves. We are to be servants to all for the sake of the gospel. That's what Paul says at the outset of this passage. Servants to all for the sake of the gospel. He begins by first of all proclaiming his freedom. I am free. He had Christian liberty. He had freedom, just like the mature Corinthians were boasting in that church in Corinth. However, instead of using his freedom to harm others around him, he counted himself a slave to all. His love for the souls of others was so deep that he was willing to deny himself personal freedom or Christian liberty and make himself the servant of all in order to win more for Christ. That's what drove Paul forward, denying himself for the sake of the gospel. Well, we see this self-sacrificial spirit in those who go to foreign lands to minister the gospel, to translate the Bible into foreign languages, or to reach into pagan cultures. For example, those in the Reformed Presbyterian Sudan work have endured much hardship for the sake of the lost. Think about what they've gone through, and I'm sure there are many more things could be listed here, but they began by living in grass huts. They've endured extreme heat and difficult circumstances. They've lived in primitive conditions, carrying their own water in order to supply their needs. And yet they are willing to be servants to the Sudanese for the sake of the gospel. Do you have that attitude of being a servant to the lost? A slave to the lost. Paul gives three examples here of his self-denying service. First, he says that he became a Jew to the Jews. Now, formerly, Paul was one of the most religious among the Jews. He became very strict in his adherence to the law. But he came by the grace and power of Jesus Christ to see his self-righteous pursuits as rubbish in the eyes of God. He came to trust in the righteousness of Jesus Christ alone for his salvation, and in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins and his acceptance before God. And yet, we see that his heart broke for his kinsmen, the Jews. In Romans 10, verse 1, he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation." And in Romans 9, verse 3, we read, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." He had a passion for the Jews. And so, though he was free from it, he was willing to abide by the Old Testament ceremonial law in order to win the Jews for Christ. Here's a couple of examples. When he first met Timothy, he desired to take Timothy along with him in his missionary travels. And what did he have Timothy do? Had him circumcised. Because there were Jews in those parts, Acts 16:3 says. Later, Paul paid to share in the Jewish purification ceremony in Jerusalem with four other individuals. He did that at the advice of James and the elders in the church in Jerusalem. He did that for the sake of the law, of the Jews. He did not compromise the gospel, but he denied himself for the sake of lost Jews. We also see that he became as one without the law to those without the law. Well, what does that mean? In other words, he was willing to adapt to Gentile customs for the sake of winning the Gentiles for Christ. Notice that he emphasizes that he did not forsake the law of God, but he remained under the law of Christ. In other words, God's moral law is perpetually binding. And Paul recognized that, and he recognized that the moral law of God continued to be his guide for Christian living, just as it is for us. And yet, where he was able, he embraced the customs of the Gentiles, eating what they ate, dressing in the way that they dressed, in order to win favor with them for the sake of the gospel. Third thing we see is that he became weak for the weak. Paul has come full circle here. He's come back to where he started in chapter 8. He was concerned for Christians with weaker consciences, so much so that he was willing to act weak by foregoing his freedoms in order not to harm the consciences of the weak. And how did he do that? Well, he did not eat meat offered to idols. He had freedom to eat meat offered to idols, but he did not do that, because he didn't want to harm the consciences of his weaker brothers and cause them to stumble. He was concerned that they not be harmed spiritually, but that the gospel would come to maturity in the lives of the weak. All for the gospel. That's what drove Paul forward. And so these were examples of how he denied himself to win the lost for Christ. Following his example, we are to be servants to all, slaves to all. And we see also here that we are to become all things to all men for the sake of the gospel. Verse 22. Be all things to all men. Does that sound like a statement of a liberal person? Well, if you interpret it in the wrong way, yes. But of course, Paul is not meaning here that he compromised the gospel or the truth of God's word in any way. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Paul warned against the false gospel of the legalistic Judaizers. And he said, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. So you see that the gospel was very prominent in Paul's teaching and proclamation, and he guarded it very carefully. What verse 22 is teaching is that our love for the lost will be reflected in our willingness to give up personal comforts and freedoms in order to win them for Jesus Christ. When Christ's love fills our hearts and we are gripped by the magnitude of the indescribable gift that we have received, the gift of salvation, what will happen? We will be willing more and more to do all things for the sake of the gospel, as Paul states in verse 23. We will become all things and we will do all things so that those who are held captive by sin might become fellow partakers with us in the freedom that we share in Jesus Christ through the gospel. We yearn for them to share with us in the fellowship of the family of God as adopted, redeemed children through Jesus Christ. That's what he yearned for. That they would be fellow partakers with him in that glorious salvation that he enjoyed. And that drove him forward. That love. Well, what freedoms and comforts are you willing to deny yourself for the sake of the gospel? Tim Keller, in that study, Gospel Christianity, remember a couple of our small groups studied that a year ago, emphasized the great need that is present for the gospel in the cities today. The pattern has been for churches to move out of the cities and into the suburbs, rather than continuing to bear a witness in the inner cities. However, Keller's challenge is for Christians to move back to the inner cities in order to have a redeeming influence for Christ in those areas. Now, is that a little bit outside of your comfort zone to think about selling your house and buying a house in the city, in the inner city of Kansas City? It's definitely outside of my comfort zone. But Keller says Christians are to lift up the welfare of the city and bring it joy because they are living out their lives in the city through love and service. Proverbs 11 speaks to this. Proverbs 11, verse 11, it says, "By the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted." What's that saying? It's saying that as we live out the gospel and as we proclaim the gospel, that will have a blessed impact on the people around us. And so we might ask ourselves, are we lifting up the city through living out and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ? It takes denying ourselves as we trust in Christ who lives in us and enables us for this task. Now, he may not be calling you to move to the inner city. He may be. But what we do know is that we are called to reach out to those who are around us right here. Reach out to your neighbors, to your co-workers, to your family members. You have an obligation to them to be a living testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ and to proclaim that glorious message to those around us. Paul's goal, which he states four times, by the way, in these few verses, was to deny himself in order to win as many people to Christ as he could. Is that your goal? To win the lost for Jesus Christ? He states that four times in these few verses. It takes self-denial. Well, that leads us to the second point. Effective gospel witness requires controlling ourselves as well as denying ourselves. See this in verses 24 to 27. Paul gives two metaphors here to illustrate the idea of how self-control promotes gospel witness. And the first metaphor is that of a runner. We have some runners among us, perhaps some who have actually competed in some high-level competition. But in the Greek culture, there were two major athletic contests, the Olympic Games, and then there were the Isthmian Games, which were actually held in Corinth every 2 years. So it was a great competition, and the people in the city would have been very much aware of it and would have probably participated in witnessing it. Well, from that familiar event, Paul draws two principles. As Christians bearing witness for Jesus Christ, first of all, we are to run so as to obtain the prize. Run to obtain the prize. And what that is impressing upon us is that there is an intensity and a focus present in each athlete, which should be present and characterized in the life of every Christian. As we bear witness to Christ, we should be running to win. It means that we are not careless, that we're not lazy, that we're not complacent, but that we are earnestly and intentionally living out the gospel as we call sinners to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Sometimes we may doubt the power of the gospel to change lives. We may question whether or not our witness is even going to be successful. Why should we even do this? Is it going to have an effect? Will it make a difference? And so we may be tempted not even to run the race at all that Christ has called us to. In the movie Chariots of Fire, the sprinter, Harold Abrams, was actually consumed with winning to such a degree that he almost quit and did not compete. And as he sat stewing before the Olympics, he told his girlfriend, "If I can't win, I won't run." And you remember her response was, "If you don't run, you can't win." We need to renew our focus on how powerful the gospel of Jesus Christ is. God is able to save anyone. He is able to transform the life of the most rebellious and hard-hearted individual. And He has called us to be His witnesses. He's able to use the weakest instruments in bearing the message of life to the world. But if we do not run, we cannot win. We won't have the joy of seeing sinners saved by the glory of the grace of God and for His glory. Well, the second thing we see is that we are to be self-controlled in all things. Prior to the games in Corinth, apparently runners had to follow a very strict diet and strict training regimen for 10 months prior to these games. In the last month, they actually traveled to Corinth and lived there while they went through a very special supervised training program. Well, self-control is behind this. And self-control is also critical for success in our witness for Christ. Think about Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. We read, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith." What is that calling us to do? Lay aside encumbrances, sins that are entangling us. And so in the power of Jesus Christ and through the means of grace, we are to lay aside those sins and shortcomings that are hindering our ability to live for Christ and to proclaim the gospel. When we enable those or allow those sins to continue to entangle us, it's like trying to run the 100 meters with ankle weights strapped around our legs. We're not going to be very effective in that race. But as we run with our eyes fixed upon Jesus, we will reach the finish line. We'll receive the victor's crown. And the amazing thing is that Jesus Christ is the one who has earned it for us. And He's the one who enables us to compete and to run the race. Yet He shares with us the unfading crown of glory with all who know and serve Him as Lord and Savior. So self-control. But then as we move on, we see the second metaphor is that of being a boxer. So He changes from a runner to a boxer. And again, He emphasizes these same two basic principles. The first is to fight with a purpose. Just as the Christian isn't to run without aim, so also he is not to just beat the air helplessly, to box helplessly at the air or uselessly. There's a single-minded focus that must characterize our lives if we're to be effective witnesses for Christ in the gospel. And that, again, requires self-control. And so he says that we're to discipline our bodies. We're to buffet our bodies, the King James translates it, so as not to be disqualified. Well, the word discipline there can literally be translated bruise. And a literal rendering of that statement or that phrase is, I actually give my body a black eye and make it my slave. That's what Paul is expressing. Now, what's he saying? He's not promoting self-flagellation. He's not saying that you need to beat yourself up and somehow, in order to somehow purify yourself. No, but he's saying that he strives by the power of Christ to bring his body into submission to the Word of God, so that he is shaped and conformed by the Word of God, submitted and subjected to it in his life. And he does so in order that he may not be disqualified after he has preached the gospel. Now, that word disqualified does not mean that he could somehow lose his salvation. Paul is not teaching that you can gain salvation and then lose it sometime later. Of course, John chapter 10, Jesus said that no one can snatch us out of the Father's hand. We are redeemed, we are secure in the Father's hand. However, we must cultivate self-control in order that our witness for Jesus Christ will not be hindered or possibly even destroyed. And so he buffeted his body and made it his slave, that he would not be disqualified. Self-control is one of the qualities of a Spirit-filled life, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's in the power of the Spirit that we will be able to submit more and more to Christ's will and to reflect his glorious character in our lives as we proclaim the gracious and glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. We wonder, as we battle sin and as we struggle to control our appetites, how can we do this? We must go back to the power of the Spirit, to the work of Jesus Christ, and throw ourselves on his mercy and trust in his care that we may be able to control our lives, control our bodies for the sake of the gospel. Well, how are you doing in the race as a witness for Jesus Christ? Remember that Jesus Christ is the power source for Christian living and witness. And if you try to evangelize in your own strength, you will not be effective. Let's say that right up front. If you're trying to witness and proclaim the gospel in your own strength, you will not be effective. Therefore, undergird all that you do with prayer. I think I gave a challenge last Lord's Day evening for you to write down on a 3x5 note card 3 to 5 non-Christians who are in your regular circle of contacts and put them in your Bible and pray for them every day in your daily devotions, that God would be opening their eyes to the truth and preparing their hearts, and that he would be enabling you to give a defense for the hope that is within you. It begins with prayer, crying out to God for his power, for his work in your life and in the lives of those around you, and trusting in his wonderful promises, and using all of the means of grace, the word, prayer, worship, fellowship. Remember fellowship. We're members of one body. We're members of the body of Christ. Do not try to be a witness in isolation. Do not try to carry out the Great Commission on your own. Do it in the context of the body of Christ. The fellowship of believers is a powerful means of grace. But realize that effective Christian witness takes those two things: denying yourself and controlling yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not a lackadaisical activity. It takes the determination and the intensity of an Olympic athlete. May we, along with the Apostle Paul, be willing to become all things to all men, so that we may, by all means, save some for the glory of Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we look at this passage, we're reminded of the amazing love that you have lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, and of that indescribable gift of salvation that you have given to us freely through our Lord Jesus Christ. All we've had to do is call upon you in faith, confessing our sins and trusting in your forgiveness. We praise you and thank you for that great salvation. And Lord, I pray that you would be working in the hearts of each person here this morning. If there are those who don't know you, who remain in rebellion against you, that you would soften their hearts, that you would break down that stony heart of rebellion and draw them to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ today. And Father, I pray that you would forgive us for our neglect in being faithful witnesses for Jesus Christ, for the sin of silence, for a a complacent, lackadaisical attitude. Lord, forgive us and stir within us a greater fervency and zeal for gospel witness. Father, I pray that you'd renew our faith in the power of the gospel, in your power to change lives, and in your power to strengthen us and embolden us for this task that is beyond our human capacity. And Father, that you would increase our love for the lost, that we would have the love that Paul expresses, being willing to become all things to all men for the sake of the gospel. Lord, we claim your promise as we struggle with our own weariness and our own weakness, that those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not faint. Strengthen us by your mighty power, we pray, to this end. In Jesus' name, amen.